Welcome back to our Fireside Faithful. We're gearing up for game week 25.
A lot to talk about today.
Palmer sliding out of that must-have category, maybe. Bournemouth on an absolute heater. And the highly anticipated new assistant manager chip. Dave, what do you like to call it?
The ass man.
The ass man chip. So we got all that to talk about. But speaking of you, Dave, you were sick last week. How do you feel?
Yes. I was near death. Not really.
Near death.
I felt like it for about 24 hours.
Is that because you were sick or because you went on a bachelor trip?
No.
After you were sick?
I was actually way less sick on the bachelor party than like 3 days before.
Well, that's good. That's good news because that doesn't always work out that way.
I think I had that old norovirus thing that's happening now.
Someone at work has it. My work has it.
A lot of vomit. That's all I'm going to say.
I got it confused with gonorrhea.
So yes, just so you know. Last week he said
it was
you
not
had
a joke. He said
He said you have gonorrhea, and I started laughing, and I said, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Yeah, gonorrhea. It's that virus going around." And I was like, "Okay."
That was an unfortunate mistake.
You might also have that though. We're not confirmed.
Yeah.
We're not confirmed.
Can you confirm that you don't have gonorrhea?
I don't have that.
All right, You heard it here.
I hope everybody in this room also doesn't have that, nor norovirus.
I plead the fifth. I'm not talking about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
All right.
That's kind of scary.
So we're going to get started, go right into the transfers, big transfers in and out. Dave, take it away.
Yeah, so there was some pretty significant transfer-ins on two guys. Both of whom will not be surprises. The first is Cody Gakpo. Almost 600,000 people at the time of us recording this have brought him in.
That's on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right? So there's still 3 days left before we play. It's going to go up more.
Which is no surprise. He's got 7 goals, 2 assists in his last 10 games. That's pretty much since he stepped into the starting 11 regularly. People moving off forwards of all kinds for him. Raul, your boy Chris Wood. Sorry, Sean. Cunha. João Pedro, even Mateta has some transfer outs for him. Look, I would do it too for pretty much any of those guys with Liverpool's double game week coming up.
Yeah, I mean, Raul and João Pedro specifically, those are two very streaky players. Yeah. And at the moment, they're not doing well, right? They both look bad. Schedules are rough. Like, I totally make sense people are moving off them. And I think, like you said, it's probably all to get Cody Gakpo.
Yeah.
Chris Wood, I want to make a comment there because I have been a Chris Wood fan, but this is the first week that I am going to say that I do understand this one. I think super poor performance they had against Bournemouth. They just got absolutely outclassed, and I think it was already on thin ice with most managers due to that lack of expected involvement every game. And against Bournemouth, I don't know what the number is, but it was essentially zero in terms of involvement.
Yeah.
So he was literally useless. But what I'll say is, before that game, he had a goal in 4 straight. I do think he's still a reliable option. The one thing that is now making me say, okay, I get it. His price has gone up so much over these last like 8 weeks or so. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's at 7 million now. And, yeah, if you don't want a guy who only gets 0.3 expected involvement every game for 7 million, I get it. So I'm okay with people moving off him now.
I think it might be a temporary thing too, so
it probably
they
is.
Have
yeah.
Brighton
they have a tough
at
schedule.
Home,
yeah,
and I'm sure he might score there. But then they have Fulham away, Newcastle away, Arsenal and City.
Yeah,
so I could see people bringing him back for that game week 29 against Ipswich, and then even Man United, Aston Villa, Everton. So it might be a temporary thing.
Yep,
and that game week 29 is there's going to be some blanks that week too. So that's a good point.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Good to have you back.
Great to have him back.
Sean doesn't support me.
That's our numbers guy.
Oh, I know.
That's our numbers guy.
I know.
That's a pace.
Justin Kluivert is the second most transferred in player.
Nice take, Sean, last week, by the way.
He's scoring goals that aren't penalties now.
Yeah.
Which is a nice change of pace for him. I don't want to tease everybody too much because we do want to talk about the Bournemouth bender that they're on. And we'll talk more about him when we get to that section. So
we will. I just need to say one thing to everyone out there. I got to eat some crow. Now, listen, I came in here last week. I didn't say don't pick him up. I didn't say he was bad. All I said was, to me, it was a risky pickup to go get him right now. And I was going to wait till after that Liverpool game. I stand by that. But credit to him, he had another good game. Yep. And I didn't believe in Bournemouth the way I now believe in them after another dominant performance against one of the top two.
Took you 10 game weeks?
He hasn't been that good for 10 game weeks. Are you talking about Bournemouth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, fair enough. I don't know. Hey, good on him. I hope he keeps going, man. I like the guy, so it's just a bad take.
I don't think it's a bad take. Sometimes the right process doesn't yield the right results.
Yeah. Look at us talking Thanks, crap guys. About
That's what
Wood.
I've been saying about myself the entire year. So.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
So some others, a lot of the double game week players, Jordan Pickford's in there, Trent's in there, Michael Anko's in there probably because he's pretty cheap for Everton. Another Everton guy is in there, and that's Illimana Endai, who I wanted to touch on just for a second.
Mind-blowing.
Not a fan?
No, go ahead. It's not that I'm not a fan. I understand why. I'm just like...
He's only 3% owned, 5.4 million. Like, he's got goals in each of the last two. He's got the double game week. One of the goals is a penalty.
He's on PKs.
He is.
He's only in because Calvert-Lewin's out, though. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. So, my take on this one is if you want to jump off some guys that are, like, around his price, like Raul, Strand Larsen, Vardy, Delap, if you have those guys, maybe he's worth a swing for the double game week. Then you can jump off of him again if it doesn't work out. Wouldn't be something I'm dying to do, but I wouldn't criticize you too much if you did that. The last guy I wanted to touch on that I was kind of surprised about is actually over on the transfer outside, and that's Anthony Gordon. He's been returning pretty consistently lately, and he had an assist last game. I have to assume this is because they have that, City Forest Liverpool run coming up after their next game. Brian Mbeumo is getting transferred in a lot. Gordon is one of the people folks are jumping off for Mbeumo.
So Phil and I talked about this one last week. We talked about the Newcastle triple stack. How do you handle it? I kind of feel like this one's a Sophie's choice for a lot of people because Newcastle has three assets that are all can produce week in, week out. But I think they've cooled off a little bit. So people are probably now saying to themselves, okay, if I can't hold three Newcastle assets, what's the one that I'm going to drop? You're not dropping Isak. And Hall is just too valuable as a defender at that cheap price.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think Gordon's still a really good option. He's still sixth in points over the last six game weeks, 39 points, only behind like the Foden, Salah, Kluivert's. But he has his stats are there, 18 shots, 10 attempted assists, expect an involvement of 0.59 a game. Like, the stats are there to say that he's still a good player and he's still relevant. Schedule's tough, though, and I just think you can't have three Newcastle guys for that schedule.
Go ahead.
Just one thing. Sorry to interrupt you. You're fresh back from your sickness. I agree with that take overall, Sean, but looking at the fixtures...
But it sounds like you don't.
Well, when we're talking about the three assets, Hall could be a good option to move away from if you have open transfers.
Goals are coming in, fair enough.
Because the chances of they might keep a clean sheet against Fulham, he might get an offensive return, but then City, Forest, Liverpool, that's going to be a tough stretch for them. So do you move off
good point.
Paul, you keep Gordon and Isak, and you throw in another cheaper option instead of Hall, which we know there's a crap ton out there right now in the 4.5-5 million
range. Don't hate that either.
Yeah.
I think 86% of Gordon's transfer outs are Mbeumo and Kluivert.
Which makes sense. Yeah, they're just trying to bring someone else in. That makes sense. Right. I think that's fair.
But, that'd probably do it for the transfers. A lot of the outs are just, I think, repercussions of the few forwards that are getting moved in, like Wood, Raul, João Pedro, Nico Jackson, Cunha. Our boy Cole Palmer is also the last transfer out I wanted to touch on. So...
He's a little cold.
Yeah, I got something to say on this one. So okay,
we'll allow it.
Yeah. So I think I've noticed over the last 2 to 3 game weeks that he keeps showing up on the transfer list. He's pretty low down on the list, but he's still there. I think he's still 65% owned, so it's not like people are moving off him in heaps. But I think the assumption is from me that people are getting a little weary of the inconsistent play that his team is putting on the field all the time. He's now blanked in his last two games. He's blanked in his last 5 out of 8. And it's such a high price tag of now 11 million. I can see why people are like, okay, yeah, I can bring someone in at a cheaper price or get him out, bring two people in. But the one thing I want to say is just to remind everyone, he is still second highest in points on the season. This is a season-long game for the most part. He has 10 shots, 6 on target, and 11 attempted assists in his last 4 games. Those numbers have him on par with Kluivert, with Foden, with Isak, 3 of the hottest players right now. And their schedule is pretty easy. They get West Ham, they get Brighton, they get Villa, Southampton, Leicester. Yeah. So if you're trying to find space for a guy like Kluivert, or if you're stacking Liverpool-Everton players, totally fair. I'm still a big believer in Cole Palmer. His talent level's too high. I'm just not as much of a believer in Chelsea. And I think that's why I understand what people are doing. I think one more bad game, and we're going to see him very high on this transfer list next week. So that's where I'm at with him. But I'm holding on to him.
West Ham at home, it would kind of be silly to drop him if you've been holding on to him. But then going to Brighton and Aston Villa away, if he does blink against West Ham at home, I could see it even.
Yeah.
The transfer outs getting higher.
And we talked about it last week. But then he
has Southampton.
He has big games. He gets big games, but then he has like 2 games of nothing. And then he has a big game of like 10 and then 2 of nothing. And it's like, okay, $11 million, is that enough?
Mr. Cool Guy has big games against small teams. Does he choke when it matters?
Call him Mr. Cool Guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you just brand him Mr. Cool Guy?
He acts cool.
Mr. Chill Guy.
Mr. Chill Guy. What's that movie? Mr. Heat Miser. What's the other one, though?
Cold Miser?
No.
Ice Miser?
Ice Miser? Something like that. I don't know. The old Claymation Christmas movie? Mr. Heat Miser.
And Ice Miser.
It's not Ice Miser.
No.
Whatever, Dave.
I should have been sick again.
Yes, that's why I should know this. And I don't. It shows how much I know. Whatever.
All right, let's let Dave finish up his section.
That's pretty much it. I did mention
Snow Miser. Heat Miser, Snow Miser. Bang. All right, go ahead.
I did not see us going this direction.
That's all right.
This week.
Just keep going.
Justin Kluivert over $500,000 transfer ins. We did mention we want to talk about the Bournemouth bender that's currently happening
heater.
In the Premier League.
Absolute heater.
What to do with some of their important pieces.
Absolute heater.
I brought a song for you guys for one of their assets.
What's that?
Are we going to talk about them now or
this
later?
This can't be good. I think we're going to
talk about them now. We're going to talk about it right now. Do you want to start?
Do you want us
to go through the players?
D-A-N-G-O, 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 and Dango was his name. Oh,
This turned out much better. Much better than expected.
Oh, my gosh.
That was good.
That was so bad.
So that song, who's taking it away?
Let's start with him. I mean, let's start with Dango, right?
Yeah, I can talk about Dango.
Yeah.
Because he's been pretty good lately. And, well, he did have a hat trick last game, which helps all of his numbers.
That's a big
help. But he is, ever since Evan Nielsen and Unal went down, he's starting at center forward every game. And you know that we like midfielders that actually play forward.
Yep.
And so he fits into that category. He's really cheap. He's only $5 million flat, and he's under 1% owned, which I was kind of surprised he didn't end up on the transfer in list this week. But so he had the hat trick last game, but they play Liverpool this week in game week 24. But then after that, they have a really nice schedule. And Bournemouth, as we know, they're kind of firing on all cylinders right now. Dango hasn't started a whole lot up until the last like 6 or 7 weeks. It was game week 16 was when he became a fixture in their starting lineup. And so I thought, well, how has he been producing since then? Since he's playing regularly, it's pretty good. Among midfielders, he's got 4 goals on 382 expected goals. That expected goals is third behind Salah and Mbeumo. If you take out the penalties, he's in second in that category. 7 big chances. That's just behind Salah and Foden. I also, since he's playing forward, I dropped in a couple like inform forwards to like see how they've been doing in that same time span. And I used Gakpo and Mateta. He is almost exactly the same as them in terms of expected goals and the number of big chances he's had. So
that's impressive.
Obviously, again, he's a midfielder, but that helps illustrate how involved and how much of a threat he's been since he became kind of their starting center forward. He's also got 196 on the expected assists in that same time frame, so there's some creative threat there as well. He scored against Newcastle, and it got called back because the ball like went out of bounds mm-hmm. ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Wonderful VAR.
Gotta love it.
Like I said, he did have a really big game against Forest with that hat trick, which makes his numbers look really good, but I like the opportunity he's getting, the position he's playing. There's like no competition for him right now.
No. Well, the other forwards hurt. I don't remember his name, but I think they have two forwards that are
Evan Nielsen
right
and Unal are both out. Yeah.
So he's it.
Now, they've been linked to like Evan Ferguson, so they might buy somebody, so keep an eye on that. But for now, he's got no...
Totally do, yeah.
He's got no competition for his role, so as long as he's starting on this team who's in form and about to hit a good run of fixtures, this is a really, really nice, cheap differential option in my mind.
And just to like zoom in even further on the time frame, in these last three games, he's played a full 90 in all three, which is, like you said, it wasn't happening before. Now it is. And in those three games, he started at 0.08 involvement, then 0.47 involvement, and then last game, 0.96 involvement.
Mm-hmm.
If he continues on that pace, I mean, that's crazy, the involvement. It feels like he's growing into a role that he didn't think he was going to have to play.
I don't think he ever played center forward before he before this happened. I think he was like a wing back / winger.
He almost reminds me in how he's scoring his goals of last year, Jude on Madrid. How he kind of just, I mean, the way Bournemouth plays too, it's a lot of combinations to get into like the...
You're comparing Bournemouth to Real Madrid?
Yeah, I am. I wish Madrid played like Bournemouth right now.
That's a heck of a compliment.
They get into positions where they're crossing the ball a lot, and obviously someone like him is going to succeed
mm-hmm.
with that type of game plan. It's not just a mindless cross. It's a pattern of play that gets him in a good position to do a pass back or, again, a thoughtful cross. They're just not banging balls into the box and hoping their tall guy gets on the end
of it. Absolutely. So I like Dango, especially at that price. Do you want to talk about your boy Justin or the man on that team that you hate, Antoine?
I'll talk about Semenyo, but I did want to mention something interesting that I found, right? So, you know, Bournemouth obviously is kind of gone, not anymore, right? They're obviously at the top of the radar, but they were going under the radar. When you start looking at their lineup, they're actually super, super, super young. Fourth mm-hmm. youngest team in the EPL. Average age of 25 years old. Only Tottenham, Brighton, and Chelsea are slightly younger than them. So, I mean, I think that's also very interesting to know that, I mean, these guys are, they're young, they're hungry. Like, I don't know what's going to be said about a young team that's kind of, I feel like young players build on momentum, right? So, just another thing to think about. Got a young squad here who's hungry. Hungry to get some goals. But yes, I'll talk about Semenyo. Someone else can talk about Clivert. I didn't give him his due last week, so I'm gonna let someone else handle it. But yeah, so again, I gotta eat a little bit of crow here on Semenyo. I have not been a Semenyo believer for the most part this season. I think he's an amazing opportunity creator, right? His involvement every week is so high, but he just wasn't producing anything. And it was so frustrating to have him on your team and see all those expected stats and then nothing from it. But in his last seven, he has a return. So he has, in five of those games, he has a goal
you
or an
assist.
Five of those games, he has a goal or an assist. And two of those games, he gets the shutout bonus point. So he is quietly succeeding while Clivert's taking, is it Clivert or Kluivert? Because I've said it both ways.
Clivert.
And I said it Kluivert last week. Clivert. So he's quietly succeeding while Clivert is taking all the spotlight, and he's doing it every single week at this point. So I'm back on the Semenyo train at 5.6 million.
Choo-choo.
I am officially back on the train.
Hold
choo-
up, though.
Choo!
Hold up. Two things. First of all, people are saying Kluivert might be the best father-son duo in the history of soccer.
Oh, boy.
Football,
could
sorry.
Even be on
God
there.
Damn it.
I'd really have to rack my brain on that one.
Who else would even be on there?
I mean, you got the Schmeichels.
Yeah, but his dad wasn't as good as he was he?
Yeah, he was.
Was he better? Schmeichel's really good.
We
listen, you know, my.
How are we ever going to grow?
My football history, I've said it 100 times.
Won a zillion things for Man United for like a decade. It's not a big deal.
My football history is not strong. I have made that clear.
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal. You know more about the Bundesliga.
Okay, sure.
Anyway, that's a fun fact. I was trying to rack my brain. Maybe when Ronaldo's son goes pro.
I also feel like you might be hyping Kluivert a little bit after three games. No?
But I mean, what other father-son duo? Oh,
so it sounds more like there's no duos. Exactly. Then so it's not that big of an accomplishment.
I can't sidetrack my
brain. You know who the best father-son?
Hey. The Turams?
Oh, yeah, hey, that's a good one.
Best father-son duo in the NBA. LeBron and his son.
And Bronny.
Yeah, good one.
Thanks, Sean. Anyway, let's not get crazy with the Bournemouth players, because I don't think... Are you going to really triple up on them?
No.
Against Liverpool, you're not. So
I'm taking one of them.
Maybe you bring someone in this week if you're really brave. If not, you still have a week to kind of figure out who you want to bring in.
Yeah.
You probably, for the stretch of games we're talking about after Liverpool, need to have Kirkez. If you don't have Kirkez, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Absolute stud, by the way.
He's second of an all defenders in points. And
that effort can run for days.
He has a higher expected involvement than Aina, who's above him. 0.66 so, per game.
So then we talked about D'Angio, Kluivert, and Semenyo. Obviously, Dango is the cheapest option. Kluivert and Semenyo, 5.6, 5.7. You take away PKs from Kluivert.
Yeah, that's the knock.
Can we just say it's Kluivert?
It's Kluivert. Kluivert.
Well, I guess in Spain we would say Kluivert.
It doesn't matter.
So not in Spain.
And Bumo and Buemo.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. You say what you want.
It's a fair shout.
I mess names up every week.
It's a fair shout.
Plus, I don't know who Schmeichel is.
So then it comes down to you to Dango has had more expected non-penalty goals.
Yeah.
But we know this is a PK league. So, do you trust the PK and pay a little extra for Clive? I'm going to say Ron Kluivert.
No, you said it right there, and then you changed it.
Who's on fire? Or do you take the cheaper option, who probably is going to get more run of play opportunities and save some fun? So,
yeah.
Answer the question. I think
what you don't do is go Semenya right now.
Who do you want? Who of the four guys we've mentioned? Kluivert, Kirkez, Dango. And Semenyo, who are you taking of those four, if you're picking one going forward?
Assuming all of them are going to get their minutes that yes. we've been seeing.
Assume we're all getting 90s, yeah.
Then I think I would need to play around with the team, with our team, because I think you pick the guy that allows you to have the best team possible based on their price tags.
Okay, let's take the team out of it. Which one do you think is going to perform the best over the next three game weeks, if you just had a gut feeling on this one?
I think you go... Kluivert because of the PKs.
That's fair.
They're going to have the ball a lot in the opposition box. And
any opinion on that, Dave?
I feel exactly the opposite.
Woo!
You know how I lean on the expected numbers probably to a fault, and you can't predict when penalties are going to come, and not that like expected goals and assists are the be all end all.
No, but they're important.
I think I'm going Semenyo by a hair over Dango. I also think you can get away with two of them if you use, you know, one of the midfielders in Kirkez, I think, is viable for their good stretch of games. Obviously, maybe not do it against Liverpool, but after that,
like, definitely two out of yeah.
There you go.
I don't think I would use like Dango and Semenyo. No. Might just feels like too much, but I think you can go Kirkez and one of the midfielders, and yeah,
you would go Semenyo.
I would go Semenyo slightly over Dango, and then.
That's why you come for all the opinions. You get all the opinions. Fires at FPL.
Unbeaten. We're not friends anymore, unbeaten. Dave. I hate you.
Unbeaten. All right. It's time. It's time
for what?
For the ass man chip.
Oh, boy.
We've been waiting for this for a while. So.
Drop your panties. Show me your ass.
Something like that.
I can't say that. I meant panties like underwear.
No, we don't.
We've been saying exactly ass man the whole pod, mean, so it's fine.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm sure everyone out there kind of knows what they're doing with this chip at this point. If you don't, let's just give them a quick rundown. Dave, do you want to give them a quick just what the chip is, points you get for it?
Yeah, the chip will assign a manager to your team. They're all between $500,000 and $1.5 million. Once you activate the chip's active for 3 weeks. You can't use any other chips during that span. You do have to have transfer budget to buy your manager, and buying them the first time doesn't use a transfer, but if you want to switch them during that three-week period, it does use a transfer. They get points for a win. They get 6, 3 points for a draw, nothing for a loss. They get a point for each goal their team scores over the course of the 3 weeks, 2 points for a clean sheet. Now, they also, and this is where the interesting part comes in that we'll talk about, is they get bonuses if they have a draw or a win against a team that is at least 5 positions ahead of them in the table.
Yeah, that's where the strategy comes in.
For example, if you pick a manager and their team's in 10th for that week, they play a team that's in 5th or higher. If they get a draw against that team, they'll get the 3 points for the draw plus 5 bonus points. If they win, they'll get the 6 points for a win plus 10 bonus points. So 16 points in total for that dub.
Minimum.
And that is where, in our minds, the big piece of the strategy comes in for this chip.
Pay attention.
Yes.
I
agree. Let's start. So let's just give a couple of options that we kind of come up with at the moment. I'm sure as time goes on, there'll be more options. But as of today, let's talk about a couple, and let's just start with some basics, I think. Start with the basic options.
Well, the reason we're talking about it is because Liverpool and Everton have a double game week in game week 24. Yep. Obviously, I think it makes the most sense to use this chip on a double game week. There's a couple coming later in the season, but if you want to use it now in game week 24... I like it because it lets you save like your wild card, free hit, bench boost, triple captain to navigate the blanks and the doubles later. So if you have all those chips left, my personal preference, and I'm doing it, is to use it now in this game week. So I'm going to use it on slot.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do that because, you can chase the table bonus with Moyes and Everton.
Mm-hmm.
And their other game's against Leicester, so they could...
Touch on Moyes and Everton, because I read someone was talking about how he's a sneaky pick. I agree, but also I agree it's a sneaky pick, but I would never pick it. Let's just talk Moyes real quick.
Well, yeah, so they play Leicester. So again, no bonus available there. And I think you should be trying, if you're doing it, and there's going to be 4 games this week, if you're picking Moyes and slot and then the next two, I think you need to have two of those available. Try to have two of those available for a table bonus.
Yeah,
I just don't think the chances of them getting a result against Liverpool are very high. And if they take a goose egg against Liverpool, in my mind, that doesn't defeat the purpose of using it. But if they take a zero, then you're just taking a guy that they're going to play Leicester, Palace, and United. And right now, none of those teams offer a table bonus for him.
It would require... For if there's any reason to use it, you would have to be betting on Crystal Palace and Man U to both lose in order to, or I'm sorry, to both win in order to move out far enough that they can get, but now you're betting on chance, and frankly, Crystal Palace and Man U probably aren't teams you want to bet on for guaranteed wins.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not, I understand if someone wants to try and be really sneaky, but I would not waste this chip on a guy like Moyes.
Yeah, you're also betting on Everton getting something out of Liverpool, out of Crystal Palace.
That's my bigger point.
Also true.
The Liverpool.
Not only does that have to work out, then you have, if you hold on to him, now you have to have them beat some of these teams. And I don't think that's worth it. But you were going to talk slot after Moyes. So what was your strategy going to be there?
Slot. I just think, I think there's 2 games. Like, they play Bournemouth. Obviously, they're good, but I don't think it's hard to envision Liverpool winning both games.
Best team on earth.
Scoring multiple goals in each game. I think if you're using it, you got to use one of these two guys. And I just think slot is the better option of the two for game week 24. The second part of this is moving off of Arne Slot for 25 and 26.
This is where we agree.
Yeah.
I think Dave and I have a strategy that we want to use probably.
And so... Well, let's start with that guy, because I have a couple people in mind. Did you want to start with Pep Guardiola?
Yeah, so the other guy that you think about is Pep, because Man City is also a team that's looking really good right now. Easy fixtures in game weeks. So let's say you want to use Pep just flat out. I want to hold Pep for all 3 game weeks. Well, weeks 34 through 36, they get Villa, Wolves, Southampton. So if you wanted to hold him just for those 3 weeks, that's a pretty good option. But, if you want to get a little crazier with the strategy, the idea would be to wait until Man City plays Liverpool in what week is
26.
It? 26. In week 26, because then you may have an opportunity, depending on how things play out, to get that 10 bonus points. Now, a couple things have to happen, though, right? So
yeah,
City plays Arsenal this week. They need to lose that game, or they need to lose the game next week to Newcastle. So basically, in the next 2 weeks, City needs to lose and tie, or two losses. That would put them low enough down that when they play that Liverpool matchup, they have an opportunity for 10 bonus points.
Yeah,
it's a risk, but you have the opportunity to get, you know, you have the opportunity to get 16 minimum points. And not just that, if you flip it and look at Liverpool, let's say Man City wins that game, Liverpool only finishes with 18 points off three games, assuming they win the others.
Yeah.
So you're only 2 points behind on one game there.
It's definitely a risk because that Liverpool game is 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
So a lot can happen, and they could very well not – they have to be in sixth for this to work. So they could very well not be in sixth. That one isn't my favorite, but it's an opportunity to be able to use Man City and get a table bonus.
The good news is you don't have to you can hold City, right? Or you can use Liverpool, and let's say you get to that point, you're like, nah, it doesn't work. You can move off of Slot and go somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
So
my whole strategy is use Slot for 1 week and then jump off. A lot of things can change. Obviously, the table's going to be different next week.
Yep.
As it stands right now, there's three guys to me, if theoretically these teams are in the same position, and that's Marco Silva, because they get Forest at home, which Forest might, whose form might be trending downward right now, so that's a table bonus opportunity. And they also get Brentford at home. They get Crystal Palace at home. So this is like a more balanced approach where you get one good matchup at home and then one table bonus opportunity at home against a team who might be struggling for form. If you want to chase some upside and get crazy, you can go Ruud van Nistelrooy because he gets Arsenal and Brentford, so it's not easy, but they're both at home. Again, this is just if you're chasing people.
This is a Dave biased pick. That's what this is.
Potentially.
That's his favorite player in history. Just be aware.
Okay. It is, but
just letting the people know. I'm just full transparency.
If you want two games in 25 and 26 that you can get the table bonus, like that's probably the best option. If you want to go really safe, Andoni Iraola for Bournemouth, they get the two worst defensive teams in the league in Southampton and Wolves.
Yes.
So you could definitely stroll your way into two wins and multiple goals in each game there. So again, that's just how the table sits now. There's some other guys like Graham Potter's interesting to me. He has the potential for two table bonuses because he's going to get one against Arsenal. If the fixtures fall right, they could get it an opportunity against Brentford in week 25. So that's one to keep an eye on. Same thing goes for like Hertzler, for Oliver Glasner. Like the fixtures would have to break in their favor for them to get a table bonus opportunity. So those are kind of the guys I'm looking at. I'm not really considering like Kieran McKenna and Ipswich and Pereira at Wolves.
No.
Like they're going to get two shots
at it.
You're
just gambling at that point.
But like they play Villa and Tottenham, that's Ipswich, and then Wolves play Liverpool and Bournemouth.
Yeah, if you want to gamble on some of the worst teams in the EPL to get upsets,
I don't think that's
probably going to be disappointed. I think this chip is so new. It's a very interesting concept. And like you said, if you just want to get rid of it and use it right now, you know, you can use it on Ariel, like you said, weeks 25 to 27, boom, you're done. I think it's an interesting concept to maybe wait a little, see how it plays out, or split it up. Like, that's the most interesting thing to me is can you find the right strategy as the table moves to use it on a guy early and then transfer to another guy as the table moves?
Yeah.
So that's the strategy, I think, in this whole thing. Everyone's going to be different. Everyone's learning.
I think with this here, it's going to be interesting to see if that table bonus is actually worth considering for. Because, like, it's obviously high risk, high reward.
High risk, high reward.
Chasing that, right? And are you holding on to something, hoping that the table lines up and then it shifts and then all of a sudden you're.
Yeah.
Because I look at Bournemouth and you could get Wolves at home. And then if you transfer to Chelsea, you get Southampton and Leicester at home for them. So you get three weeks in a row where two strong teams are playing against three of the worst teams.
Yeah.
Can you get, you know, clean sheets, win the games, and you're pretty much guaranteeing a decent amount of points from a chip, right? Yeah,
just to be clear, Bournemouth played Liverpool in week 24.
Yeah.
Weeks 25 to 27 is what I was referring to. So skipping, obviously, you would not play at this.
I'm saying Bournemouth 26 is Wolves, and then Chelsea 27 is Southampton, and 28 is Leicester. Because this week, assuming you don't use it this week, you're probably going to use your triple captain on Salah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know. So, yeah, if you want to wait and just use it on a three game, I don't hate that. I was just, you know, I want that extra game.
Yeah, that's fair.
And if you're going to use it starting in 24, you know, you're pretty much doing it for that purpose.
Yeah. It is a rare moment. I don't think the EPL, whoever makes this fantasy, anticipated getting a double game week the first week they release it. So it's a very interesting concept to get the best team potentially in the world on a double game week.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen too often. At the same time, it's interesting to get a team like City, who for all intents and purposes we thought was going to be one of the best in the world, having a chance to
get a table bonus
at 10 points. That is I mean, we'll see, but like the fact that there's even a chance of it, you're like, okay, interesting. So
I think at the end of the day, it kind of goes to FPL in general. Your decision might turn out positive, it might turn out negative.
Sometimes good, sometimes shit.
But just go into your decision being like, hey, I'm taking a risk here, and I know it might backfire, but it's an educated risk.
Yeah.
Or go in with the confidence of like, yeah, whether this happens in my favor or not, this is a smart decision, and you always know that football can kick you in the nuts sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think there's a few really good options. You can't really go wrong with a few of them. Whether it works out in your favor or not doesn't mean you're stupid or is a wrong decision. It's just how football went. So,
this guy, you're welcome.
People on Twitter that get upset with yourselves, with other people, just chill a bit. You can't control Ipswich scoring a last-minute goal against Liverpool and ruining clean sheets. You just can't.
Life lessons from Philip. We need to get you your own segment. Yeah. Life lessons very from Phil.
Mental philosophy. Mental health with FP or Fireside Phil.
Do you
mental health with Fireside Phil? I'm writing it down right now. I can't forget that.
I do want to summarize for people.
Yep.
Yes.
If they are going to play the chip in game week 24, what I would recommend doing, because we said a whole bunch of stuff there.
We did.
So in summary, I am going to use the chip in game week 24 as it allows me to save my chips for later in the season to deal with the blank and the double game weeks that are coming. I will say, if you have all those chips left, I think it's a good play to use the assistant manager chip. I think if you're missing two of those chips, I might hold the assistant manager chip. That way you can take advantage of the double game week later, because I feel like you're going to need ammo in those weeks to truly make them count for you. And so for this week, is it Slot or Moyes? It's easy Slot for me. I just don't trust Everton to get a result against Liverpool. And if they take a goose egg in that game, to me, you've defeated the purpose of using it. So take Slot. They could easily win two games, score multiple goals. But the other part of this is, what do you do in game week 25? I think you should switch that chip. The options that we gave, the balanced approach with Marco Silva getting Forest and Palace both at home, he gets one table bonus opportunity there. You can go with my man, Ruud van Nistelrooy, at home against Arsenal and Brentford. This one's high risk, high reward. So if you need to catch people, maybe Ruud is for you. If you want to go safer, Andoni Iriola of Bournemouth gets the two worst defensive teams in the league, Southampton and Wolves. So a safer route there, could get two wins and a lot of goals. I also mentioned the other guy I'm keeping my eye on is Graham Potter of West Ham, gets Brentford and Arsenal. He'll definitely get one table bonus opportunity, maybe two depending on results. So that's how I'm going to play the chip. You decide what works best for you.
I love that, Dave.
Lessons with Dave.
That's a great summation right there, man. Yeah, Heard it here first. All right, well, I think we're out of here.
We are?
That's all we got today.
Time fries.
But
I just got here.
Don't worry, you'll be back next week. We'll all be back next week, actually. But check us out on our socials, Instagram, X, TikTok. You know, I wanted to mention every Tuesday on our Instagram, around 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So what is that Greenwich time? About 3?
That was Greenwich time.
Isn't that English time? Aren't they on Greenwich? Am I making that up?
Are you talking about like the GTA?
You can't just toss out, you
know, Greenwich?
Greenwich time.
What do you consider English time? What time zone is that?
5 hours.
I believe they're 4.
Okay, forward. But you gotta give them like you say EST. What is their thing? It's Greenwich.
Bro, just say 5 hours past that.
So I'm dumb because I know what Greenwich time is.
No one uses that.
I bet they use that if they're listening in England.
People in the UK absolutely
use
it.
So back off.
I can't make that conversion on the fly for you. So.
Well, I think it's 5 hours.
It's 5 hours. Yeah.
So 10 a.m. Eastern Standard, 3 o'clock in the afternoon if you are in England. And we put out that post. That it's a story on our Instagram. We ask for questions. We answer those questions on this show every Tuesday. They get posted. We post our episodes on Thursday. So if you have questions, put them there. If you missed that opportunity, put them in the comments in the YouTube video. DM us on Instagram. Hit us up on X. We would love to answer any questions anyone has.
Subscribe.
So please throw them out there. Yeah, like, subscribe, and comment on this video. It's free.
Doesn't cost anything.
It's free. Yeah, and we really appreciate
it.
That's what
free means.
Really helps us out. We really appreciate it. Back here, same time, same place next week. Looking back at game week 24. Looking forward to game week.
We don't know what we're looking at. We're just chatting.
25.
Or that.
And with that, see ya.
See ya.
Bye.